Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipai Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Are we in service this morning? Are you sure? Let's have our seats as we go into the Word. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank Pastor and I want to thank the Lord for giving me the privilege to preach to us this morning. Are we ready for the Word of God? Are you sure? If you're sure, let me see your Bibles and your writing material. Your Bibles and your writing material. Come on, up in the air. Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to be ready and pay attention to the Word of God. Like I would always say, right from the Word, the Bible says the Word is powerful, is active. So the Word of God is divine. He has the power to transform. He has the power to change. So every time you get, thank you, every time you get the opportunity to hear the Word of God, you must open your heart to be changed. Open your minds to be transformed. A scripture that somebody read yesterday during camp meeting, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Jeremiah 23, 29. I just wanted to read that text. It struck me when I read it. The Bible says, are we there? Let's read together. One, two, go. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It says, is not my word like a fire. So when the word comes, expect a burning. The Bible says that when the people, you know, walking, the disciples walking with Jesus, got to understand the things that he was saying. After he had expounded the scriptures to them, they said, did our hearts not burn? Did it not burn? Hallelujah. So every time you have the opportunity, even when you're reading the Word of God, always have the mind that this Word can transform as I read it, as I take it in. There's a power in it. It's divine. It's not an ordinary book. Amen. So I want you to pay attention this morning as the Word comes, and I believe the Lord that it will truly change your life in the name of Jesus. So what's the title of our series so far? Fuego. What does that mean? Fire. So we've been talking about fuego, and in the past, you know, few weeks, I think about maybe two or three, we've been examining or emphasizing the fact that prayer can be learned. Prayer can be learned. You can be better when it comes to prayer. Taking the example of Jesus and his disciples in Luke chapter 11, when they asked, they said, Lord, what? Teach us to pray. That means you can learn to be more effective in prayer. You can develop a vibrant walk with God if you have not had that before. Are you listening to me? You can grow in your communion with God. You can be heavier when it comes to the subject of prayer. You can see more results. You can learn to see more results when it comes to prayer. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? And the reason why it's important to know that prayer can be learned is because the Bible, the things of the Bible are not so abstract. I told you last time. At least you can learn the basics and grow from there. The things of the Spirit are systematic. I told you, the Bible says that the Word of God was given for doctrine. That means that everything that we have in Scripture, you can learn them. You can learn them. You can grow in them. You can be more effective for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man may be what? Thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So the Word of God is given so that you will be thoroughly furnished, fit every time for every good work. That when it comes to the dispensation of the power of God, you are thoroughly furnished. Are you listening to me? When it comes to a vibrant walk with God as well, you're thoroughly furnished. And it comes from the teaching of the Word of God. Hallelujah. So know that you can be better. You might be at a level right now and you're dissatisfied. Know that I can get to a place where I know I'm better. I'm better. I'm better. Paul was speaking to the church and he says that, you know, that he knows that their gathering was for the worse and not for the better. But we know that our gathering is always for the better. Hallelujah. It just tells you that you can be better with the things of God. Even on the subject of tongues, the Bible says that you are building up an edifice as you pray. It just means that you can increase. Do you get what I'm saying? You can increase as a believer. You don't have to stay at the same level. Are you listening to me? I think this is so important because if you want to grow in God, you must make up your mind to be ready to move always. To move. You always be dissatisfied with where you are. You might be praying well now, which is good. You might be consistent now, but you can go beyond there. Hallelujah. The people that do much more, you know, thank God for the grace that he has given unto many people. But you must, from those things that you see, desire to be better. Desire to be more effective. You can learn. You can learn to pray. You can learn to better wield the tool of prayer to be more effective in your walk with God. You can learn to have more results in prayer. Are you listening to me? This emphasis is very important because there's no option when it comes to praying. No other option. You have no alternative. You don't pray, you cannot pray. Nothing. Like, there's no alternative to prayer. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? There's no alternative to prayer. There's no escape route. There are no options. I think one of the problems of our generation, or generally just human beings, the fact that we have too many options. Even when it comes to church, it comes to food, and we think that because we have so many options in the world, when it comes to the basics of Christianity and your growth, you have options as well. You don't. If you want to grow, there are things you must do. Are you listening to me? And prayer is one of them. You can't escape it. There's something that Charles Spurgeon says, very powerful. He says that you are no Christian if you do not pray. Imagine that. He says you're not a Christian if you don't pray. And he goes further to say a prayerless soul is a Christless soul. That's hard to hear, but it's true. If there is no communion with God, there's no way that Christ can be formed in you if you don't learn to commune with God. If you don't learn to pray. Amen. He's putting the burden of your development in God on prayer. And it goes with the word of God as well. But today, because I'm talking of prayer, I would emphasize more on that. You cannot become more like Christ if you don't learn to pray. Because when you are praying, you are showing God that you are dependent on Him and He's your source. That everything that you need flows from Him. Amen. So if you don't pray, if you don't learn to come before Him in prayer, you can't receive things from Him. That's the meaning. Amen. So learn to pray. Another quote he says, prayer is the breath, the comfort, and the strength of a Christian. He says it's the breath, the comfort, the strength of a Christian. That's why Jesus would say men ought what? Always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray. That means that if you do not pray, you would faint. It's just the way it is. You would have no strength if you don't pray. Amen. So you must pray. You must learn it. You must desire it. It must be an ever-growing, you know, desire in your heart to be more prayerful, to grow more in your communion with God. As a believer, if you are a Bible-believing Christian and you don't pray, you're a walking contradiction. I tell you the truth. It's hard to say, but it's the truth. Because the Bible that we hold, the Bible that we carry up and down, you know, and we claim to be believers of, is filled with men who prayed, who depended on prayer. That was their life. So if you don't pray, you are contradicting what is there, what is in the Word of God. Hallelujah. So you must learn from the example. You can't achieve much with God if you don't pray. You can't grow if you don't pray. You can't grow, you can't be better in your relationship with God if you don't pray. You see people like Anna in the New Testament. The Bible talks about Anna. I think her husband died when she was like maybe 25 or 28, if I'm not wrong. And the Bible says that she spent all her life, the rest of her life in the temple, doing what? Fasting and praying and worshiping God. And it was because of that in a time where it seemed like God was not speaking. You know that space in your Bible between the New and the Old Testament, that's 400 years. 400. So in that time where it seemed like God was not speaking, God was speaking to somebody. There was a woman called Anna because she bent her knees to pray. She was hearing, she knew what God was doing at the time. Even when the priest did not know, they were not able to map the prophecies of scripture and see that this is what God is doing now. A woman like Anna, who just simply spent her days in prayer, knew. A man like Simon as well, in that time, they knew what God was doing because they learned to pray. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verses 4, Romans 15, 4, it says, whatsoever things that were written afore were written for our what? Learning, that through the patience and comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. That means that you must learn from the examples of these people. If you must walk with God, and you would walk with God effectively, you must learn from their examples. Those things are written for your learning. They are written for your example. All the men who did great things with God were men of prayer. Deep, deep prayers. In the Old Testament, we see men like Joshua. In Joshua chapter 10, we see that, you know, during that time, there was a war going on between the Amorites and the people of Israel. And God had told Joshua that he was giving them victory. Are you listening to me? That means that they had victory in that battle. And then Joshua, knowing that they needed more time to win that battle that God had said that they would win, he went to God and prayed. He said, let the sun stand still. Are you listening to me? Let the sun stand still. And it was so as he prayed. Because he knew the will of God. Not that he didn't just say, if my faith says yes, God cannot say no. He did not say, he did not care whether it was the will of God or not. He stood on the will of God and declared from that point of view. So you're not just saying that, because you want to be like Joshua now. You now say, I remember... was an example of somebody that went to a car dealership because he had heard the message on faith that says that everything you believe, you shall have it. And then he went to the dealership. He said that this car is mine. That was the first car they sold that day. Are you listening to me? So you're going based on the strength of the will of God. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 10, verses 7 to 8, it says, so Joshua ascended to Gilgal. He and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. So he went on the strength of the word and the will of God. Hallelujah. But you can see the power that he had in prayer. That's a man that knew how to pray. He knew how to pray. He must have learned it from Moses. Are you listening to me? Are you here with me? You seem a bit distracted this morning. He must have learned it from Moses. He must have seen the life of Moses. How Moses, because Moses was such a man of prayer. Almost everything that Moses did in his journey with God, he was always praying. If you read from Exodus, the beginning of Exodus, whether it was to report what Pharaoh did, even though the Lord knew, anytime Pharaoh should say something, he would go back to God and say, Pharaoh said this, so
What are we going to do next?
Whether it was to get direction from God, he always went back to God. Whether it was to commit his inadequacies to God, he went back to God every single time. It was so bad that when he was supposed to take action, he still went to pray. When he was supposed to just split the sea, God was even angry. Now, I've taught you this thing. But he went back to God. He said, your people are still crying. Oh, what do we do now? So you see that heart of prayer. Moses was also an intercessor. If you read Exodus very well, you see a time where Moses stood the hand of God concerning the people of Israel. God said he was going to destroy them. He was angry. He said he's going to destroy. And Moses said, if you do this thing, what would the people of Egypt say? And he calmed God down. Hallelujah. He interceded. There was even a point where he told God, he said, blot my name out of your book. If you want to destroy these people, remove my name. Let me be the one to die. He gave himself in that kind of intercession. So I'm giving you examples to show you that the book that you carry, the manual in your hand, the Bible that you hold, is filled with men that prayed. So you must pray. There's no power with God without prayer. Hallelujah. Another example is a man like Abraham. God called him his friend. Very interesting. You know, it's a different thing for you to say, someone to see you, maybe you're so fervent in the things of God, and they look at you and say, you must be a friend of God. It's a different thing when God himself says that this is my friend. Rhoda is my friend. Are you listening to me? God said it himself in Isaiah chapter 41 verse 8. Isaiah 41 8. The Bible says, are we there? I want us to read it together. Isaiah 41 8. 1, 2, go. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. My friend. It shows you the kind of deep communion that Abraham must have had with God. I know we talk about Jesus, which is great. I know we talk about Elijah, awesome. But see a man like Abraham, a friend of God, where God said in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, he says that, will I do a thing and not tell Abraham? Let's read that scripture. He says, and the Lord said, shall I hide what I'm doing? That means that Abraham knew what the Lord was doing per time. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is how to grow in God. This is how to have power with God, to have results in God. Always in communion with God. Always. God said, shall I hide what I'm about to do? Will I keep it from Abraham, who is always before my face? If you read the life of Abraham very well, you see that every point in time, he was always building an altar to the Lord, always calling upon the name of the Lord, every time, every chance he had, every city he went to, every time, always calling on God. So God was able to download his future and the future of his generations to him because he was a man of prayer. Because he was a man of prayer. So if you see all these examples, what about you? What about your life? Prayerlessness just disrupts you from gaining much with God. If you don't learn to pray, you cannot see ahead. Do you hear what I said? If you don't learn to pray, you can't see beyond today. You can't. You won't know what God is saying. You won't know what God is doing. You'll just be going and the world will take you from place to place. You will not be able to stand and say, I know who I have believed and I'm persuaded. You will never be able to say that. Why? Because you have not learned to bend your knees in prayer. There's much to pray about. Hallelujah. Much. It's not even just about you, but knowing that God as well has desires that he wants to give to you. God has burdens he wants you to pray out. God is looking for men and women who would just pray, who would pray his will upon the earth. That's why God gave us this wonderful tool, to bring his kingdom come, to pray his kingdom upon our lives, to pray his kingdom upon the lives of other people. I've been in a situation whereby, you know, I was just sleeping and I knew the Lord woke me up. And what I was hearing was somebody in China. I'm like, oh, China? How? I don't know anybody in China. And in my heart, I saw a man of God that needed strength. And as I began to pray, it was the second time I had experienced something like that. But it showed me that God has people he wants other people to pray for. You are a believer. God wants to use your mouth to save the lives of other people. Other brothers and sisters, are you listening to me? So give yourself, give your life in prayer. Sacrifice yourself in prayer. Build an altar of prayer. Learn. You know, you don't have to do the 5 hours first. Start small. I remember during the time camp meeting, I told you everybody was supposed to pray 2 hours. And I told you, you can break it down. 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes midday, 30 minutes in the afternoon, 30 minutes in the night. You have done 2 hours. You are good to go. And nobody will shame you. Nobody can shame you. Why would they shame you? Hallelujah. Don't allow, you know, what I wanted to get to you is that you must grow. This prayer thing, you can't do anything if you don't engage in it. Engage in the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So today we're going to be learning how to pray. Because last week we spoke about, you know, what to pray. Pastor taught us I taught on Thursday about the Lord's Prayer. Pastor continued and expounded a few things. But today we're going to be talking about how we pray as believers. But before then, I want to ask you, why do you pray? Because I think that if you do anything, you must learn the why first. Abi? You must understand the why. So why do you pray? Can somebody answer? Why? Why must you pray? To align with God's plan, yes. To communicate with God, yeah. What are you saying? For what? Yes, so the devil doesn't do what he wants to do in your life. Pastor gave us 2 major reasons. Number one, so that God can do what he wants to do in our life. Number two, so the devil cannot do what he wants to do in our lives. And one of the reasons why you must pray is because your life depends on it. Your life depends on it. I'm not speaking in parables. It's not even a joke. It's reality. Reality. Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 15. Let me explain something to you. John 15 verse 4. Are we getting this morning? Are we with me this morning? John chapter 15. Let's do it together. 1, 2, go. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatsoever you desire and it shall be done to you. Jesus says, abide in me. The word abide there is the word meno. The word meno. I know Pastor has taught us this many times. Who knows the meaning of meno? And where Pastor has explained this from. Yes, in Philippians, where Paul says that I would continue, remain with you and continue with you for what? Your progress and joy in the faith. So the word meno there means to continue, to dwell, to not depart. That means you are constantly there with the person. So when Jesus says, abide in me, it means dwell, continue with me. And you can't continue with someone without contact, without communication. Are you listening to me? The reason why Paul will say that I'm remaining with you is because he wants to continue to communicate spiritual truth to them. Are you listening to me? So there is no continuing without communion. So that means that when Jesus is saying, abide in me, he's also saying, continue in communion with me. Continue in intimacy with me. He's saying, continue in prayer in me. Are you listening to me? So this is what happened to you when you got saved. Can three people help me? Just come. Amen. So when you got saved, this is the kingdom of darkness. Come here. Yeah, not the kingdom of darkness, but for today, kingdom of darkness. This is you. This is the kingdom of light. The Bible says that when you got born again, what happened to you in Colossians? The Bible says that you were translated from the kingdom of darkness. So you were in the kingdom of darkness before. Now, they have removed you and translated you to where? The kingdom of light. And that, Jesus is using an example of a tree. That when you were removed from here, you were engrafted into the kingdom of light. Who knows what engrafting is in agriculture? They take the branch of one tree, they cut it off. So they sever any kind of connection you have with the former tree and remove you and put you into the new one so that you begin to grow and bear new fruits from the supply of the new tree. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So now that you're a believer, you have a new kind of supply. And if Jesus says, abide in me, he's saying, continue to draw from me. That supply. And if you don't pray, this is what you're doing. You're removing yourself from that continuous supply. You're blocking it. Are you listening to me? Because the Spirit of God was given to us that we would cry, Abba, Father. God wants, that's why he gave us the Spirit, that we would pray, that we would commune. So when you do not pray, you shut up. It's not like you're not still there. You're there. But you're not bearing fruit because you're not receiving supply. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you. Go to your seat. Can I clap for them? So, what I'm trying to tell you is that your life depends on it. Your livelihood depends on it. If you have been engrafted from that former place to the new one and you need supply to become fruitful, your life depends on that new tree. It depends on that new tree. Your growth depends on that new tree. Whether or not you would flourish, it depends on that new tree that you've been engrafted into. So he says, abide. Abide. The quality of your spiritual life depends heavily on prayer, on communion with God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Always in communion. Jesus said something to his disciples. He says, I don't do anything except I see my Father do it. That means he was always seeing what God was doing. Are you getting something here? It's like the story of Abraham, but even deeper. He's always in communion with God, praying without ceasing, allowing himself to be always in alignment with God. Pray without ceasing. If you notice, the Bible, every time he instructs on prayer, he says, he uses the word always. Always. That means that your prayer time does not have season. I mean times and seasons. You can't relegate it only to a specific time and say, okay, only in the first half of this year or in December, I will pray all the prayers that I need for next year. And you enter next year and you're not praying at all. You can never be effective that way. It says pray always. Pray without season. Prayer makes you effective. Hallelujah. You depend. depend on it. You depend on that communion with God. You depend on that supply from God. In prayer, you download things from God. The Bible says that when we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries. And we can download those mysteries as well. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Prayer makes you effective. It keeps you from temptation. Jesus says to pray that you will not what? Fall into temptation. Are you here with me? Jesus says, watch and what? Pray that you will not fall into temptation. Jesus knows what he's talking about. Even in the life of Jesus, you can see a consistent prayer life. Every time. He never took anything casually. Baptism. Just for them to dip your head, is that what I bring you out? He was praying. Are you listening to me? Every time. And Jesus' life instructs us on a life of continued prayer. He says, when he was talking to disciples in that same Luke chapter 11, when he was about to answer them, he said to them, he says, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, all of that. But he says, when you pray, not if you decide to pray, or should you decide to pray, or if problem comes and you want to pray. Because that's this thing now. I've heard people say very interesting things because, you know, we're in a system that is working. Hallelujah. You have healthcare. What else do you have in this country? Huh? Light. You know, in Nigeria, in darkness, thick darkness, you'll be praying to God and say, God, you know, because you'll be feeling different things as you are praying, self. You'll be images. You will know that maybe they are following you from your father's house. But here, there's always light. If you are seeing something, you can always turn on the light and be sure that it's not there. But in Nigeria, if there's no light and you turn on the candle can only help you in this small space. Are you listening to me? Are you here with me? So we are in a system that works. That's why some people don't give themselves in prayer. What I was about to say. I've heard some people say that don't exert yourself this much. Why are you? What? One of my friends, one time she was praying in a service. You know, she joined a church and she came to America. And then she was just, you know, I was praying in Nigeria. Lord, and she was doing like this. What is it? And one woman touched her. I say, are you okay? Is everything good? You know, is everything all right? And she's like, that she's fine, that she's just praying and all. And, you know, people think that because we're in such a nice environment, and thank God for that. Thank God there's light. Thank God we have water supply. You don't have to fetch it from somewhere. Thank God the water is clean. You know, all of that stuff. But it still doesn't take away the fact that there are spiritual forces in charge of things. Are you listening to me? It's more than the physical. It's more than what we see. In this same Canada, Apostle Remy was saying something I heard and accept. He said that he was going somewhere to preach. And by the time he got to the airport, he was going to Canada, actually, coming to Canada to preach. And when he got to the airport, somebody met with him and was following him. And he looked at him like, why are you following me up and down? And the guy said that he's following him because that in Canada, the priest, he went to preach the last time that they caught the head of a ram and buried it in front of the church that he was supposed to preach at. That they had planned and, you know, done some divinations and things like that against him. And the fact that he was still standing, he said, I must follow you. That I must, like, where do you get this power from? And if you know Apostle Roman is a man of prayer, long he has said some things on prayer. He said, if you just look at yourself, like, God, please help me. He said, if you have not prayed for 10 hours and you are 20 and you have not prayed for up to 10 hours, you have wasted your life. Hallelujah. Don't worry, your life is not wasted though. Don't measure the quality of your life like that. Hallelujah. But the point is, you must learn to pray. There are spiritual forces everywhere. and you always want to be in alignment with God, even without even thinking about the devil and his agents and all of that, don't you just want to be like Jesus? Where you are just in your mind, you're not thinking the things of the world, it's just that heavenly flow of the thoughts of God. Are you hearing me? See Jesus in Luke 3:21 is a point that we must desire to get to, where there's just that constant flow, constant communion. Somebody taught me something one day. He says to turn every thought into a prayer. Every thought, every time you think about something, whether good or bad, you just turn it into a prayer. Bad, you turn it and say, this shall not be upon my life. Good, you are grateful to God. It's just every time, that constant flow. I think, listening to Pastor yesterday, Pastor was saying something, because I actually sat him down. I think I've been watching you since the beginning of this year. Me, I'll be praying in the night, I'll be, you know, and Pastor will be sleeping. Sleeping like this. And I asked him, I said, God has taught me a lot of things with your life. I said that, but then I see you during the day, you're always muttering in tongues. Every time. He's playing game, or he's praying. I'm telling you, he's listening to, he's playing game. Sometimes he'll be listening to messages. He'll just be feeling his heart. He's doing something. He's playing songs. Just always in that atmosphere throughout the day. So you may not necessarily see him, even though he has those times. You may not necessarily see him just in the house, just banging the door for 10 hours. But every time of the day, he just devotes himself in that kind of community. If he's not talking to somebody else, he's talking to God. That's a very, very, very interesting thing. And it taught me a lot. A lot. That after my own 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours in prayer in the morning, I just go on my day as if... No, just go on. And just like, anything happened, just go. You just finish praying and nothing. No, you're not listening to the word of God. Nothing, nothing. You just finish. Go to sleep at the end of the day. You wake up again. Go again. But you want that constant flow. Hallelujah. Constant flow. Luke chapter 3 verse 21. The Bible says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 14, verses 23. Matthew 14:23. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. You know, the life of Jesus, you can see that he enjoyed prayer. He would just remove himself from there. Yonggi Cho would say that he prefers to just spend the time in prayer than preaching to people. After 5 hours, he used to do five hours every day. After doing such, you know, long hours of prayer, he would still say he wants to spend more time with God. Just like Jesus, he didn't really care about the crowd. He just wanted to separate himself unto the Lord and speak with his Father. That's the desire that you should have. Growing desire, a yearning for the Lord. Mark chapter 1 verses 35. We're talking about why we pray. Mark 1 35. The Bible says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. That means Jesus was up all night. He said he went out and departed to a what? Solitary place. He always wanted to be alone with God. Always. He says he was there and he prayed. He prayed. In Luke chapter 5 verses 16. This is the last one I'll just read. Luke 5:15. Jesus prayed like his life depended on it. Like he could not do anything without that communion. Like he was, you know, void of power, void of anything if he didn't pray. Luke 5:16. The Bible says, so he himself often what? And prayed. Often. This was his lifestyle. This was his lifestyle. A constant communion with God. Constant communion with God. So, and he did it because he knew that his livelihood just depended on his communion with God. And so should yours. You should see your life that way. This is why you should pray. Because your life would be nothing without communion with God. See it like that. See it like that. That's why you will not go out without talking to God. Because how is my life going to... I don't want life itself to dictate my day. Are you listening to me? You want God to dictate how your day goes. So you make sure that you give yourself to Him first before any other. Hallelujah. And this is something that even the disciples practiced. They practiced a life of continual prayer. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 22. Romans 12, 12. Let's read together. One, two, go. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Another version actually says faithful in prayer. A believer must be faithful in prayer. Hallelujah. So you must pray. Like I told you, there are no options. There's no escape routes. There's no shortcuts. You must pray. If you would grow, if you'll be effective, you must what? Pray. Tell yourself, I will pray. Come on, say louder. Say, I will pray. Prayer keeps you connected with God. Because you were built and made for fellowship. That's why you were made. You were created for that. Do you know something? How do you properly image someone if you don't even know the person? Hey, listen to me. If we are saying that we are the image of God, we are made in His likeness, that means that we are His representative. If we don't know what He wants to be done, how would we be effective as images of God? Hey, listen to what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get it? Hallelujah. So your life truly depends on it. Your destiny depends on it. Your purpose depends on it, on communion with God. So that your life will be constantly under the influence of the Spirit. You want that always. So the flesh will not just do you anyhow. Do you know sometimes when you just come to yourself and you're like, how did I get to this point? I don't allow flesh to just ruin my whole day. Me, I don't know if that's happened to anybody, but me, I know it has happened to me before. So many times, I just come to myself, and the worst part is that it's the end of the day. When I finish wasting the whole day, I just found that, why have I been watching film all day like this? It's only a movie. I've been watching film all day. I'm not coming to myself that, am I not a believer? Is it not the image of God? Am I not supposed to be doing something? Reading the word of God, hearing something that should feed my spirit, because my life depends on it. Hallelujah. So how to pray? Now, how do we pray? Number one, we pray according to the word and the will of God. Pastor did an extensive teaching last week about praying according to the word of God, because it's so important. As humans, we are very tempted when we are praying to pray how we feel, but there's a right way to pray. Have you been in the place of prayer before where you know that your prayer is wrong? What you are saying, what you are communicating to God, you know that is not, for example, let me say it this way, or let me use myself as an example. During camp meeting, after I prayed, I told God that, Lord, you must touch my life, or I must not live the same way. And I came the first day. I was so dry and everything. Even though I led you people here and did all this, I mean, I was dry like this. I was just asking God that, what was going on exactly? I don't understand. Like, why are you not speaking to me? I came here to be changed, and it seems as if I'm just helping other people. What about me? And in that moment, I began to doubt my prayer times, doubts, everything that I had expected and all. And I had to spend some time to prayer to shift myself from that wrong thinking. Has that happened to you before? Where God brings you to a place of doubt or fear, and just in the place of prayer, it just carries you into a place of, yeah, you're just sure. And Saturday morning, as I was praying and just asking God, I said, I don't like this, you know, what's going on exactly? Why are you not speaking to me? Why people are receiving encounters and me, I'm just here. And I was just rambling in my mind and everything. And just God just calmed me down and brought me to a place of certainty that he came for me. And that just changed my whole perspective. Because it's the will of God for you to know that you have a father and he wants to commune with you. Do you see why it's important to know the word of God? Do you hear what I'm saying? Because if I came in fear, if I came in doubt, I will not receive anything from God. The Bible says that anyone who comes to God, they should come believing. If you waver, know that you will not receive anything from God. So you must stand in faith and be assured that this is my Father. I have a relationship. I have no need for anxiety. He has come for me. He will change my life. He will change my situation. I'm standing on the knowledge of the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's important for you to be full of the Word of God, for you to pray right. Pray with the Word. Don't just pray how you feel. Pray with the Word. And make sure, even if it is how you're feeling at that moment, make sure that it is what the Word says. Hallelujah. Pray with the Word. Because sometimes we get tempted that we just want to, in the place of prayer, want to feel something. And because we want to feel, we're not praying some things we're not supposed to be praying. Cast me not away from your presence. Take, God, if you take a spirit from me, I will die. And you pray all these things, you cry, you roll on the floor and everything. And that time, like this, God and the angels of hosts are just looking at you like, is this my child? Is this who I paid for? I died on the cross for, and this simple thing now, you don't know. I'm here for you. Hallelujah. And the Bible is replete with the kinds of prayers that we should pray. We even see an example of how Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. The Bible shows us he prayed for God to be glorified. He prayed for his disciples. He even prayed for you. Hallelujah. We see other prayers like the Pauline prayers. I think one of the reasons why people don't pray the Pauline prayers as much as they should, because they don't think it's deep. Me, I did not think it was deep. When you finish listening to some people, my cousin, when I started getting very serious with God, I think I was like 300 level. I was serious before, but like very serious. So, 300 level. I mean, no. It was before then. But there was a time in 300 level where my cousin now met with me and said that pray the Pauline prayers. That I should not be praying it every day. And I was doing it, you know, revelation, spirit of wisdom, my revelation, the knowledge of him, my eyes before the light, and everything. I'll pray. Is that all? Is that really everything? You know, I pray in my inner man to be strengthened. I'm strengthened with might. I pray it in tongues for a few minutes. And then I'm like, okay. What of the deeper things? What of those other things? But you see the life of Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin just stayed on those Pauline prayers for most of his life. And see the depth of knowledge, the depth of the flow of the things of God in his life. Are you listening to me? I know a pastor that he said at the beginning of his journey with God, he used to just go in the bush and pray 3 hours, just pray Pauline prayers alone. And if you hear him speak, the weight of the word upon his life, the weight of the spirit upon his life, just spending time praying those things. So don't cancel those kinds of prayers. Those are the things you should be praying for. That you grow in wisdom, in the knowledge of the Word of God. Because it is the knowledge of the Word of God that makes you effective. Are you listening to me? The Bible says that in Philemon 6. Let's open the Bible. Philemon 6. Are you learning something today? Philemon 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. There's no chapter, but. Was that from 4?
Hallelujah. Okay, let's read together. One, two, go. Five. Verse 6. It says that the sharing, the communication of your faith is effective when you acknowledge, you know, you come to a point of consciousness of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. You see, that's the reason why the Word of God, when Paul was praying in Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1, when he was praying for knowledge, because when you grow in knowledge, you get to a point of acknowledging every good thing that is in you, the power of God that is in you. Hallelujah. The glory of God that is at work in you. You come to a point of acknowledging the gifts of the Spirit that are at work in you. And there, it now makes you what? Effective in the sharing of your faith, in the communication of your faith. So that's why these prayers are important. You need the knowledge of the Word of God. You need to be full of it. Hallelujah. You need to be full of the Word. Full of the Word. And that's why you must pray those prayers. Paul says to be strengthened with might. Amplified Version says to be invigorated with strength in your inner man. Strength. Because you need capacity. You need capacity. You need capacity. To disciple men, you need capacity. You need the capacity of the Spirit to pray for them, to shepherd them, to feed them, to cover them. You need capacity also for yourself. That as you shepherd, as you help them grow, you yourself will not be a castaway. Are you listening to me? So you must pray. Like, these things are important. Prayer for other believers. Praying that they will grow, that they will be effective. Because you want to see your brothers and sisters better as well. As you grow, you want to make sure that Rhoda is growing too. You want to make sure that Portia is being effective as well. That is the will of God, that all of us. He doesn't just want one person to be a superpower. He wants all of us. That's the New Testament church. Are you listening to me? That all of us are effective. All of us are better. All of us are growing. All of us have capacity. He says that we all come to the unity of the faith. All of us. All. To the unity of the faith. To a perfect man. That we all mature in God. Praying for the lost as well. The Bible says that it is His will that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of the glory of God. So if you are a believer, you must pray for the lost. You must pray for people to be saved. You must pray for Windsor. Are you listening to me? You must pray for the light of God to shine in this city. For the power of sin to be broken upon the city. For people to hear the word of the Lord. You know, sometimes we go for evangelism and sometimes I think to myself, are these all the people? Where are the rest? Where are the rest? Because you want to make sure that it penetrates every house. And that as you speak the word of God, people are truly changed. Truly changed. You know, I was reading about a general. I think it's God's general. And he was talking about how this man, as he enters the city, I think it's John Gillick, maybe. But as he enters, or Allen, but as he enters the city, people are already giving their lives to Christ. Are you listening to me? Because that man was full of the word, full of prayer. He had grown himself in the spirit. Grown himself. Expanded his capacity. That his vicinity, everywhere he went to, the light of God was just shining. That's the kind of life I want to live. I'm telling you. I want to just get to a place like this and light, that the light of God in me, I can communicate it heavily just by my presence. Are you listening to me? And it will come by prayer. It comes by prayer. Another reason, or how to pray. Number 2, pray without ceasing. We've already touched
on this, because prayer is your life support. So the Bible says, always pray. I'll give you examples of the apostles and disciples and where they prayed. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 verses, or Acts chapter 6 verse 4. Acts 6, 4. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. It says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God. Colossians chapter 4, or let's read Acts 2. I think it's 42. Acts 2, 42. What does it say? And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in prayers. That's the life of the early church. It should be the life of the church now as well. Always praying. Always. Number three, I don't want to spend too much time there because we've talked about it. Number three on how to pray. The first one is what? I wanted to mention something when we talked about the will of God. That when you pray according to the will of God, you're more audacious. When you pray according to the word of God, you're more audacious. It's something that happened to Joshua when he prayed because he knew what God had already ordained. He just came out in boldness and said, "Son, stand still." Pastors talked about something yesterday about prophesying as an image of God or as the image of God. That your words now carry something. You don't just say things loosely, but you say them because you know this is the will of God and you declare it. You are praying boldly. Hallelujah. Number three. Pray fervently. This is very important. Pray fervently. Pray fervently. This is how to pray. If you don't pray fervently, you are not praying at all. I know it's a very big statement, but I'm telling you the truth. The Bible says in John chapter 5, James. Or let me say, if you're not praying fervently, you're not praying well. You're not praying well. James chapter 5 verse 16. You know, the life of Jesus was a man of passion. When he was praying, you can tell the passion. When he was just doing things normally, you could tell the passion. The Bible says that he went to the temple and he flogged all the money changers out. That the disciples had to, they just remember the scripture. They said the zeal of the house of the Lord had consumed it. That means it showed the kind of passion he used for the things of God. So when he prayed as well, he must have been in a, you know, heartfelt state, heartfelt posture. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another. It says what? Pray for one another that ye may be healed. It says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Another version. Do you have Amplified? Let's go to the B part. Okay, the heartfelt. One, two, go. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of the righteous man is able to accomplish much. When put in action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have what? Tremendous power. So that's why I said if you're not praying fervently, you're not praying well. It says it's the prayer of the righteous. The effectual prayer of the righteous makes what? Power available. It makes power available. Then why not pray fervently? What it means to pray fervently is for it to touch your heart. Don't just, I say it every time, don't just pray mindlessly. You're not going anywhere if you just pray, you know, without your heart and mind involved. Hallelujah. It must be heartfelt. You see the example, even gave an example of Elijah, giving us an example of what it means to pray fervently and what it means to have power when you pray. He says, use NKJV.
NKJV. Thank you. One, two, go. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. Hallelujah. So he said he prayed what earnestly, and what he was describing as Elijah's earnest prayer is in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Oh, okay, correct. It says, so Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground and put his what? Face between his. This is what James is calling earnest prayer. You can tell the what he wanted to do there, the heartfelt nature of that prayer, because the posture is so, I mean, who prays with their head between their knees? You'll be uncomfortable. And he was there for seven to 8 hours praying like that. You can tell that he really meant what he was saying, and he really wanted to see the power of God, and the rain fell. So quickly, of course, our time is fast spent. I'll just give you four marks of favor. Quickly, four marks of favor. I'm trying to skip a lot of things. So. Four marks of favor. Number one, posture. Posture. Now, on the matter of posture, I'm not saying that you have to, you know, to show that you are praying fervently, you have to bend your whole body. Because, you know, the internet, you see many people, I don't know how they do that thing for hours. Some people like, some other people, they will hold themselves like this. Say, come. Some people that wear heels, I'm over, please come. They hold themselves like this, come, hold me like this. And then they will be like this. For 10 hours. That's what posture looks like. But I'm not saying that you have to do all those gymnastics. But what it means when I'm talking about posture is the fact that when it is heartfelt, it affects your body. Do you know, when you're talking about like football now, thank God for Chelsea, hallelujah. We won the FIFA World Cup. Amen. Glory to God. We are very humble people. We bless the Lord for all he's doing in our club. When that game was happening, you know, you see myself a pastor. We were just screaming in the house, jumping up and down. When they scored, ladies, I ran. I said, Jesus, thank you for go power. So you can see that is heartfelt, because this posture. Hallelujah. Posture. When you're praying, if it touches you, there's a way your body would react to it. Have you seen, sometimes, I think I was telling, it was this one I was telling yesterday, sometimes you see Pastor Emmanuel Ewen, very calm apostle, fresh guy, he will be praying like this. At some point, he will just be like, rah, ta! Once it's like that, you know, something has happened. Are you listening to me? Posture in prayer comes from the heart. When it touches you, there are movements, motions of your body. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about posture. It's a mark of favor. If it truly, truly touches you, it will show in how you react. If your heart is right, your body would follow. Are you listening to me? So that's why when we tell you to pray, and you're just, you know, praying like this, shit. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not effective. It just, sometimes it just shows that you're not really there. You're not there. When you're just praying, you should be like, thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And we are finished. Even worship. Worship, oh, we are singing songs that glorify God. You cannot just lift hands. Just do like this. God, I thank you. No. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you will stand there like that. Are you truly glorifying God? No. Am I talking? Yes, hey.
If you love something, it will show you in how your body reacts to it. If you love somebody, self, it will show. It will show your gestures, they are there. Your body, your motions, they are there. How much more God? Amen. Number two, your tone. And it's the same thing that goes with tone. I'm not saying that you have to shout. Amen. Even though praying out, like we pray out, you don't pray in, is utterance. That means it must be what? Said. Even though we don't pray, Holy Spirit, help me today. What do I want to say? Tone. We're not saying that you should be shouting. What I'm saying is, let it, if it comes from inside, there are intonations. There's a way your tongues would go. You know that if you're praying in tongues and you're just, you know, praying, and you're just there like that, it's very possible that your mind, you're already eating spaghetti, you know, you're in London doing vacation, somewhere playing basketball. But when it is, when it is heartfelt, there's a way your tongue, even if you are quiet, there's a way it comes. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a way that you just, even if you are whispering, there's some times where I don't want to shout, I cannot stand up from the bed, you know, and I just lie down and I'm praying quietly, but you can hear the groanings because it's touching something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we're not just talking about shouting and just making noise everywhere. If you like make noise from today to tomorrow, there's no power in it if it's not heartfelt. Are you listening to me? So the tone we're talking about is something that comes from the heart. From the heart. Even though when you pray out, it helps you a lot. Do you know? It helps a lot. That's why me, I shout to, especially in church, because I need to hear myself. I need to hear myself pray sometimes because I can drown the voices of other people and I'm just focusing on God. So when I'm praying out like that, I'm talking to myself. I'm praying, I'm talking to myself, making sure that my heart is where it needs to be. You know that sometimes when you're praying in the morning or in the evening, whenever you pray, and you're not there yet, you're still struggling to find your way. Once you just decide, let me stand up, and you start talking and you start praying out loud, you know, it changes things for you. It changes the atmosphere. That happened to me several times. I'm on my bed, I'm just praying, and I've been there for almost already an hour, and I'm like, this prayer is not going anywhere. And I just stand up and then I start talking to myself. I start saying the promises of God over my life. I start speaking them out. I start praying in tongues like that, saying it out. Then I know I've gotten, so I've hit something, and I continue in that trajectory. Are you listening to me? So tone is important. It is a mark of favor. It's a mark of favor. Number three, concentration and focus. If you get this part right, you will get the others right. You will get tone right. You will get posture right. Concentration. Because in concentration, you journey well. When your heart and your mind are single, you are just on one thing. You know that you're just moving in the spirit in prayer. You are just flowing. You're just flowing. When your heart is on one thing, you're praying, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want to be better in my walk with you, Lord Jesus. And you continue to just grow in that. You now begin to see pictures of yourself in the place of prayer as you just focus. Pictures of yourself doing more for the Lord, of the prophecies that he has said over your life. Pictures. Then you go deeper and deeper. Concentration is too important. Don't allow yourself to just, anytime you're praying and your mind is already wavering, you're already speaking to your sister in Nigeria, call yourself back to order. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you're praying and your mind is just everywhere, speak again to yourself. Just pause and say those prayer points again. If you're praying, I'm more, or I'm more effective in the work of my work with God. And you're praying like that, I'm praying, and it seems like you're distracted. You say it again. I'm more effective. Spend like 5 minutes. I'm more effective. Don't pray in tongues. I'm more effective in my work with God. I'm growing deeper in my relationship with God. I'm better. I'm better. Do, as you continue to do that, your mind shifts. Hallelujah. Concentration helps you journey. Don't fall into the trap. Sometimes just put your phone away. See, Jesus, he secluded himself always. Put your phone away. Put the things that will distract you. Sometimes just go for a retreat and shut everything down and just focus on the Lord. You will see that you will go far in place of prayer if you just do that. Just quieting every kind of noise around you and focus on God. That's how to learn discipline in prayer. Hallelujah. Number what? Four, consistency. Consistency. If you're fervent in prayer, you'll be consistent in prayer. You'll be consistent in prayer. Because once you pray fervently and it touches you, it changes you, you would want to go again tomorrow. Do you understand? You want to go again tomorrow. There are times in my work with God, I remember when I was much younger, and I finished praying in the night, I'll be so happy. I felt God. I knew that God was there and everything. And before I'm sleeping, I'm just happy. God, I thank you because I have another time of prayer with you. And I'm just in expectation because I knew what happened the day before. Because I prayed fervently, my heart, I felt something. So I want to go again to talk to God. So a mark of favor is what? Consistency. And you can't have favor without consistency. You must pray consistently to be fervent in prayer. Hallelujah. I said something on Thursday that I think is very important when it comes to favor. That prayer requires the entirety of a man. The Bible says that if you want to serve him, I'll paraphrase, you serve him with your body, your soul, your mind. If you are praying as well, you pray with what? Your body, your soul, your spirit, your mind. It requires the entirety of your body. That's when you know you are praying well. When your mind is single, your body is reacting to it, your heart is there. You are sharp there in the spirit. Hallelujah. So make sure every time that you're spending in the place of prayer, whether you're in church, whether you're at home, am I praying with the entirety of myself? Is my mind involved? Is my heart connected? Is my body connected? Is it flowing as I am praying? Then that's when you know you are praying fervently. Let's rise up on our feet as we begin to pray. Salabaria sataya bratu sapaliata. Kopo, just pray in the language of the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Sapalakato seprete. Kapano sinana kaparipa sambro supalate pelikataya. Just pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, in this my walk with you, I would be better. I would be better. I would be stronger. In the name of Jesus, just begin to pray like that now. Sila taparia sata. I'll be better. I'm taking strides. I'm moving forward.